I invite you this morning, please, to open your Bible with me in the book of Galatians, Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6, and we're reading at verse 1. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Let us not go weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. And then verse 14. But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. And amen, God always blesses to us the readings of his sacred word. Someone has already remarked to me this morning that we are so privileged to live in this beautiful part of the world, and especially on a beautiful day like we have today. Why, here in the County Down, the rolling hills and mountains of County Down, the lakelands of Fermanagh, the rugged coastline of Antrim, and I'm not sure how many of you have ever been to Rathlin Island. Rathlin Island is noted not only for its beauty and the warmth of its community, the wildlife, the puffins that gather there on the northern part of that little island, but Rathlin Island is noted for something else. It takes us back some 700 years to the days of Robert the Bruce. Robert the Bruce, having fled from Scotland in defeat, he took refuge in a cave on the northern part of the Rathlin Island. Of course, the story is quite famous that as he thought and mused of what would now happen, should he flee to the Holy Land or should he dare go back to Scotland? His brother had been executed. His wife and daughters were being held prisoner, and here he was in a cave, and while he was thinking of what he should do, why, you know the story of the spider that fell from the ceiling at the end of a thin thread. And the spider, wanting to make contact with the rock, began to swing. It swung once and missed twice, three times, four, until finally on the seventh swing, the little spider made contact. The lesson of the spider was not lost in Robert the Bruce. He felt that if he had failed once, why, it was not time to give up, but rather persevere. That is, get on with it. And so he did go back to Scotland. And I guess the Battle of Bannockburn is all because of a spider that Robert de Bruce saw in the cave of Rathlin Island. Perseverance. We all need it. As a matter of fact, I am taken with so many injunctions in the Bible that remind us to never give up. It may be weakness, weariness, as we've read here this morning, waywardness that happens to so many. But the Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 12, consider him, the Lord Jesus, who suffered such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be weary and faint in your minds. It can happen. Remember the word in the book of Isaiah that we are to wait upon the Lord. For they that wait upon the Lord, they shall renew their strength. They shall run and not faint. They shall walk and not be weary. weariness. It can happen to any of us, and as we read our Bibles, we find that it happened to some of the great heroes of the faith. We remember Abraham, the father of the faithful, who, having stepped out on the promises of God, while he was building altars and making tents and in his earthly pilgrimage until a famine came. And the Bible reminds us that faithful Abraham became unfaithful, and in disobedience he went down into Egypt, and there he almost lost his life and almost lost his wife, all because he grew weary in his mind. It happened to a man called Elijah. Elijah, God fed him by ravens at the side of a brook and out of a barrel of oil from a poor widow, why God provided for him. God gave him strength to confront the prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel, and there he stood, a champion of the faith, as God answered his prayer, sending fire from heaven. What a mighty man he was. But in the next chapter, we read that this mighty man fled from Jezebel, afraid of a woman, not only fleeing down through the Jezreel Valley, but fleeing right down to Beersheba, over 100 miles. And he sat under a juniper tree and said, "It is enough, Lord, let me die." Why? Because he grew faint in his mind. We could go on this morning and speak of Jonah, or of Peter, or of Demas. My friend, can I say it can happen to these and can happen to us? Maybe it has happened. Grown weary in your mind, weak in your faith, wayward in following Christ. I call your attention this morning to this word in verse 9. Let us not grow weary in well-doing, for in due time, in due season, we shall reap if we faint not. The Apostle Paul was writing these words to the Galatians. Over there in Acts chapter 16, we read of Paul traveling through Galatia. God blessed him. Souls were saved. The church was established. And these new believers, why, they began to run well in the faith. But the Bible reminds us, my friend, that having run well, why, they came on a snare. And the Apostle Paul said, "Ye did run well. What did hinder you? Why have you fallen out by the way?" In our Christian race, it is easy, not just for new converts, but for those who've been on the road for a while. I've never run a marathon, but they tell me that the hardest mile in the marathon is the middle mile. You're so far from the start, but so far from the finish, that it's easy to give up on the middle mile. Paul said, "What did hinder you?" He is writing to them to remind them that they should not grow weary. In the context of this verse 9, I just want to draw your attention and hang your thoughts on some of the things that we should not give up, the things that we should persevere in, not grow weary in doing. Listen to what we read. Let us not grow weary in well-doing. First of all, if you look at verse 2, can I say this to you this morning? Let us not grow weary in sharing. That's what it says. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Now, Paul was writing to these Galatians, and maybe these Galatians who had started so well, but had become entangled in legalism and holy days and foods. They had got so bogged down in legalism that they had lost the freedom of the Spirit, and they might have complained, "Well, it's okay for Paul saying this. He doesn't know the burdens we bear." Not so. The Apostle Paul knew all about burdens, and this one burden is actually the word that is used for a heavy, crushing weight that is upon. In 2 Corinthians, you will find that the Apostle Paul, in that letter, he unburdens his heart, and he opens to them just how great was the burden he was bearing. For example, and listen to what it says in verse 8 of chapter 1, "For we would not have you, brethren, would not have you to be ignorant of the trouble which came unto us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure." Listen to that word. Feel the weight of it. "We were pressed out of measure," says the apostle, above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. Isn't that amazing? The Apostle Paul, who not only had this thorn in the flesh, and if you read 2 Corinthians chapter 11, you read the multitude of burdens that he bore, my friend, they were crashing in upon him. Burdens, stresses. Maybe that's exactly where you are this morning. It may be family, it may be financial. It may be employment or unemployment. I don't know what the circumstance may be, but every Christian knows something of burdens. When the Apostle Paul wrote here, share ye one another's burdens, you will find that the Apostle Paul also knew all about that, because in the same chapter 1 of 2 Corinthians, having spoken of despairing of life and the weight and the stress that was upon him, he said these words to the Corinthians, you also helping together by prayer unto God for us. Isn't it amazing that the Apostle Paul was in Asia under a mighty burden, but the saints in Europe, by touching the throne of God and interceding and praying for Paul, they were sharing in his burden. Listen, they were lifting the burden. And that was the Apostle Paul. He depended so much on the fellowship of the church. As a matter of fact, if you read Romans chapter 16, you will find that the Apostle Paul, he quoted 32 different names. And not just the names, but the verbs that are used in that chapter, how that they succored and helped and they served and they stood with him, sharing one another's burdens. Let's not grow weary in sharing one another's burdens. As a matter of fact, in the very context of that verse 2, it reminds us that there are some burdens that we've got to shoulder, the burdens of those who have gone astray. Look at what it says in verse 1 of Galatians chapter 6. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness. Isn't that amazing? For those who have gone wayward, my friend, we are to share their burdens in the sense of restoring them in the spirit of meekness. That is, in the spirit, my friend, of humility, because there but for the grace of God go you. It could happen to you as it happened to them. And therefore, we've got to restore such a one. And that word restore, it's the placing together of a bone that's been broken. Do you know of someone like that this morning? I remember when I was in Banbridge Baptist Church, just before I left, Pastor Billy Kennedy, the former pastor of the church, he came and spoke one night at the Wednesday night prayer meeting. And being the former pastor, while he spoke with a lot of warm fellowship and yet with a lot of candor. And he was saying about this thing of restoring one another. And Billy said, in Iraq, they're talking about friendly fire. That is, Americans, by mistake, killing Americans, and British killing British. They call it friendly fire. He said, it is not a new phenomenon. It has been happening in the church for years. That is, Christians killing one another, shooting one another. And doesn't it happen? My friend, let us not grow weary in sharing. Billy Kennedy, being Billy as he was, he said he had gone to a particular church and stood at the door shaking hands with the people going out. And this lady took time to shake his hand, and she shook and she shook and she shook his hand while she talked to him. And then she finally let the hand go. And then he took the hand of the next lady and just gave it a shake and said good night and let go of the hand. And the lady said to him, excuse me, you didn't hold my hand as long as you held her hand. Billy, in his own way, he said, madam, if you'd have slipped into my hand what she slipped into my hand, I'd have held your hand longer too. But what about those who have gone astray? We are to shoulder them, restore them. Let's not grow weary in that. Let's not give up on that. Remember, Barnabas didn't give up on John Mark, and today we've got Mark's gospel. However, we're not only to shoulder the burdens, we are to share one another's burdens. And the Bible reminds us here, my friend, of these Galatians sharing one another's burdens. Can I say that's something that we've got to learn to do in the fellowship? It is amazing in the New Testament how many one another phrases we have. We are to pray for one another, care for one another, encourage one another, admonish one another. If you go through it, my friend, you will find that there's so much that we can do for each other in the body of Christ. We are body, and one part of the body should not forget or neglect the other part of the body. When something gets into the eye, the hand comes to the rescue. Isn't that the truth? That's how it is in the body of Christ. We are to share one another's burdens. However, sometimes there are burdens that we cannot share. And those are burdens that we are to shed upon Jesus. Remember what it says over there in Psalm 55 and verse 22. Cast your burden upon the Lord, and he will sustain you. He does not just carry that heavy burden. He will carry you. Casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. He is the all-sufficient Christ who cares for all of the believers with all of their burdens. And I say again, he is adequate for every burden. What burden do you have this morning? George Mueller, the founder of the boys' homes in Bristol, had a little text on his desk, which was a translation from German of 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7. Casting all your care upon him, he careth for you. He took those words, and from the German, he translated, it matters to him about you. Isn't that marvelous this morning? He who knows the number of the hairs of our head, he who knows our down-sitting and uprising and the footsteps that we take, it matters to him about you and you and you and you. Let's not grow weary in shouldering the burdens of those who are wayward, of sharing our burdens with those who are in the fellowship, of casting our burdens upon the Lord. Let's not grow weary. Another thing I find in this portion of Scripture, in the context of it, is not only let's not grow weary in sharing, let's not grow weary in sowing. Listen to what it says, verse 7, be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. It is speaking here of that Spirit-filled life, that life that is dominated, controlled, and motivated by the blessed Holy Spirit. We sow to the Spirit, and of the Spirit we shall reap to life everlasting. But it reminds us here that the principle is exactly the same in sowing the seed of the Word of God. Let's not grow weary in sowing. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Isn't that important? I think there are some things that are important. If we would have a harvest, first of all, it is important that we sow. If there's no sowing, there will be no harvest. That is why, as we spoke to the boys and girls of being fishers of men, the Bible also reminds us that we are to be broadcasters of the good seed of the word, sowing the seed. He that goeth forth weeping, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. And my friend, I tell you this, let's not grow weary in sowing the good seed of the word of God. Sunday school teachers, I know sometimes week after week it can be difficult and can become a burden, but keep your eye on the harvest. For remember this, it is important that you sow, it is important what you sow. And what we've got to sow this morning is the good seed of the Word of God. Peter called it the incorruptible seed of the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Aren't you glad this morning that we have a message to tell the boys and girls and to the nations? Aren't you glad that we have got the living Scriptures, this God-breathed book that we can sow and tell, and the Scriptures do its own work? Psalm 145 reminds us that the Scriptures run throughout the land, said the Apostle Paul. Pray for us that the Word of God may have free course and be glorified. And my friend, you just never know where the Word of God is going and what it does. When I was in Brazil 18 months ago, I was preaching at a missionary conference, and it was to go Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. One man came up to me before the meeting on Friday, and he said, "Do you know Paul Maynard?" I said, "I know Paul very well. He worships. He's a deacon in Monkstown Baptist Church." Well, Paul was with Accra Gospel Mission in Kanotama way back in the beginning of the 70s, there for about 70 to 74, just the 4 years they were there. This man said to me, "When I was a little boy of about 6 or 7, Paul Maynard led me to the Lord. Would you tell him today that I am a missionary?" That was before the meeting. After the meeting, another man by the name of Paul O'Gomes, he came up to me and he said, "Do you know Paul Maynard?" I said, "Yeah." He says, "I remember you speaking to me when you lived in Kanatama, but Paul Maynard led me to the Lord when I was a little boy in the children's meeting in Kanatama." I said, "I'll tell him, I'll see him in a few weeks' time." That was Friday night. Saturday morning, the president of the mission, the Paul of Tarsus mission, he came to me and he said, "I remember when I lived in Kanatama, you treated us for sickness, but I remember Paul Maynard because I was an altar boy. My mother was a member of the Legion of Mary. Paul Maynard led both of us to Christ. Would you please tell Paul that I'm a missionary today?" On Saturday night, another little missionary, a small man who works in Nova Linda amongst the Indians, he came to me and he said, "I remember you led Donna Loya, my aunt, to the Lord. But in Kanatama, Paul Maynard led me to the Lord when I was only a little," well, he still hadn't grown much, "but when I was only a little boy, I trusted Christ through Paul Maynard." Listen, Rita Maynard went to be with the Lord 7 years ago. She knew nothing about it. Paul, when I got home and told him, he didn't remember anything about all that. But do you know what he was doing? He was sowing the seed of the Word of God. My friend, one day the harvest will declare it. The Bible reminds us of the likes of Rita Maynard. "Blessed are the dead that die in the Lord, for the Bible says their work shall follow them." Let's not grow weary in sowing the good seed of the Word of God. It's important that we sow. It is important what we sow. But let's remember this. We do not reap when we sow. One day, the reaping day is coming by and by, and what rejoicing there will be. Let's not grow weary. Let's not grow weary in sharing. Let's not grow weary in sowing. Listen to what it says in verse 10. "As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Let us not grow weary in serving." It doesn't say let us speak good to all men, but let us do good unto all men. Isn't that amazing? When we read of our blessed Lord Jesus in his life, Mark sums it up in these words: he went about doing good. How many people were blessed through our blessed Lord? How many families benefited from our blessed Lord Jesus? Why? Because he went about doing good. And we have been called to do the same. Let's not grow weary. The Bible says, verse 10, "As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men." Looking for opportunities to serve God every day. What a wonderful thing. Do I speak to some? And you used to be active in service for the Lord. You were at the prayer meeting sustaining and sharing, but you've grown weary. The Bible reminds these Galatians, let's not grow weary. Let's not fall down weak. Let's not give up, but let's be busy in our service for God. I don't know what that service might be for you. There's a work for Jesus only you can do. Maybe in your neighborhood, maybe in your family, maybe in the church, or maybe God is calling you to a particular work. Let's not grow weary. Can I say finally, this word of the Apostle Paul in verse 14, "But God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world." These Galatians had gotten away from the cross. The Apostle Paul said they had started well. They had trusted Christ. Their faith was in the finished work of Calvary. But they turned from the cross to their works and to the law and to holy days. And what the Apostle Paul was writing to them was to encourage them to not grow weary, not grow weary in sharing, not grow weary in sowing, not grow weary in serving. Listen, not grow weary in standing by the cross. If you read through this book of Galatians, you will find that the constant theme of the book is the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Look at chapter 1 and verse 3, where Paul, verses 3 and 4, he salutes them and he says, "Grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins." Immediately he's at the cross. He began with the cross and he finished with the cross, and the cross was there constantly before them. My friend, this morning, can I say, we have nothing else to glory in save the cross of our blessed Lord Jesus, the sacrifice that he made for us at the cross of Calvary. And therefore, right at the beginning, look at chapter 2 and verse 20. You probably know it by heart. "I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God," listen, "who loved me and gave himself for me." Oh, it's not the law, it's the Lord. It's not your works, it's the work that Jesus did. Look at chapter 3. And it's speaking of our blessed Lord in verse 13. "Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree." A curse is the opposite to blessing. My friend, that we might enjoy the cup of blessing, our blessed Lord bore the curse upon the cross of Calvary. The Arianic blessing is, "The Lord bless thee and lift up his face upon thee." Our blessed Lord on the cross, when he was made sin and a curse for us, the Bible tells us the Father turned his face away from him. Paul was keeping the cross before them. Chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3, look at chapter 4 and verse 6. Verse 4. "But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them which are under the law." Again, it's speaking of the cross, "that we might receive the adoptions of sons." And then finally, here he is in chapter 6 and verse 14. "But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ." My friend, let's not grow weary in standing by the Savior. Let's not grow weary in speaking about the Savior. Let's not grow weary in serving our Savior. As a matter of fact, I say to believers this morning, let's not grow weary in sitting at this table to remember him, lest ye become faint in your minds. If you give up sharing and sowing and serving and standing by the cross, the danger is, my friend, you'll faint by the wayside. May God keep us from that.